Okay, welcome to part 6 of Igeres Ramban. This is hopefully going to be our last year on the topic. We're almost finished with the words that Ramban wrote to his son. When we ended Shir 5, we were talking about the words of the Ramban. The Ramban says, when you get up from a sefer, you should inspect, pay attention to what you learned. If you can walk away with something. So we spoke about the Rambam. The Rambam says that if a person sees a tragedy happen and he says that it's mikra, that it's just by chance, and it's just nature taking its course, that it's achzarius, it's cruelty. So I want to share a story that I think I've told this story before. I'm blown away and inspired by this story. A very simple story, I think, but I think it's such a powerful story. I was talking about a year and a half ago, to one of my colleagues in the middle school. His name is Mr. Goldman. He's the gym teacher. He grew up in Albany, and he was involved in Yiddishkeit, involved in NCSY. And I always see him. He's always working on a tefillah, and he's always carrying a sefer on tefillah, and mishnayis, and he's always learning, and he told me that Gemara is hard for him. So January 1st, 2020, everything changed. If you remember back, January 1st, 2020 was the Siyum Hashas at MetLife Stadium. Now, you can imagine a guy growing up in Albany, if he sees 90 people, he's already blown away. 90 Jews in one room. You know, this is 90,000 Jews all coming to celebrate the same thing. And he was, like so many others, very inspired, extremely blown away by the matzav, by the event, by the gathering, even though it was freezing. But it was a very special thing for him, and he really wanted to join. Problem was, he said, I don't, my daily schedule, I don't have 45 minutes to listen to the shiur. And if he has to try to understand something, sometimes he has to, you know, people who listen not live, sometimes they pause the shiur to look inside. He said he felt like he would have to go over the Gemara again with an art scroll Gemara, and that was also going to take time. And he didn't have that type of time, but he really, really earnestly wanted to be part of it. So he saw that they were advertising that there was something called an 8-minute daf. And he said, oh, Rabbi Eli Stefanski, 8-minute daf? I could do this. I could do 8 minutes because my drive from home to school probably takes him about 10, 12 minutes. I could do an 8-minute daf. Right? You could even listen on 1.0. Ah, slow, nice. Okay. So that's what he started to do. Now, the 8-minute daf, I've never listened to it, but I imagine it's probably a sikum, a summary of everything that happens on the page, Shaka Vataria maybe. I don't imagine he reads every word of the Gemara. I think that would be hard to do in 8 minutes. I think if we could do that in 8 minutes, we wouldn't have so many 45-minute daf yom yishirim. But that's what he did. And he listened to the 8-minute daf in brachos, and he got some Shaka Vataria, he got some ideas, but most importantly, he had a connection. He was part of it. He really wanted to be part of it, and he was. And then brachos ended. And if you remember back, brachos ended, and COVID hit. And he said, you know, for those who remember COVID, so if you had little kids during COVID, if you had kids in school during COVID, you ended up once again reliving your third grade, and then fifth grade, and then seventh grade, and 11th grade. And maybe you even had a child in kindergarten. And you just kind of had to do school again because you had to sit with your kid and you had to listen to the teacher. You had to watch the teacher. You had to watch the video. And it was just so much. So much was happening. And it was so much for some people. But Mr. Goldman, his kids are already older. Some of them are married. They're out of the house. For him, it was actually very quiet. And he's a gym teacher. So whereas all the regular teachers had a load of a schedule that they, you know, when they had to be on the Zoom and they had to be working on their slides and on their YouTube and on all the tools that we were trying to pull together to give the best education we could at the time. So Mr. Goldman, as the gym teacher, he made a couple of videos of, techniques for dribbling basketballs. He did some exercise programs on Zoom during lunch, but it was limited. The gym class was limited and he had much more time. And he took that time and he started Masechta Shabbos. He listened to Rabbi Stefanski's full Daf Yomi, the 45-minute version. And he said he even had time with his Gemara, with his art scroll, to go over the Gemara and get the Shakla Vatari and see the words inside. And it was really unbelievable. And he said that when we came back to school, it was already part of his schedule. So he continued. You know, just thinking, I haven't spoken to him I haven't seen him since the end of school, but I would imagine he just finished Yibamis. Can you imagine a person who goes from, he doesn't have the background in Gemara to be able to commit to spending an hour a day learning Gemara and being part of Daf Yomi, to he just finished Yevamos. Yevamos. It's mind-boggling to me what he accomplished. And you know why he accomplished it? Because of these words of the Ramban. The Ramban, that when you get up from the Sefer, look to see if there's something that you can take away. Lo sisa shem hashov. Don't take Hashem's name in vain. If you're going to take Hashem's name, if you're going to be inspired, if you're going to have Kedusha, don't do it in vain. Walk away with something. Go to the Siyam HaShas and commit to something. I'll tell you, I can't speak for everybody. I know that some people went to the Siyam HaShas and because they were so inspired, they started to learn Daf Yomi. Kol HaKavod to them. And then I know there are people like me who went and said, this is really impressive. It's really not for me. And I have all the svaras, and I think I have good svaras why it's not for me. Daf Yomi learning, it's not for me. It's the pace is too quick. I like to learn slower. And I don't have a problem with that taina. It's a good svara. But I want to tell you that I was also inspired at the Siyam HaShas. But I, unlike Mr. Goldman, walked away with nothing. Mr. Goldman walked away with an 8-minute daf. And the Ribbono Shel Olam said, if you really want it, I'm going to give you the full 45-minute version. So the two lessons that I saw, that this is why this story is so meaningful to me. Number one, with the words of the Ramban, if you're inspired by something, grab onto it. Do something. Do something about it. Don't walk away empty-handed. Even a small Kabbalah can go a long way. And number two, if you really want it, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to help. You know, when he started this Daf Yomi journey, if you will, it wasn't a full investment. He was doing what he could. It was minimal. But you know what? At that moment, it was the best he could do. And Hashem said, I see you really want to be part of this. I'm going to make sure you can. We could look at other people and be inspired. I told Mr. Goldman, this story is mind-boggling. It's gadol worthy. It is such a great maisa. He looked at me like he didn't even understand why it was okay. Like, you know, sometimes the greatest people and the greatest actions, they don't realize, you know, the greatness that they have within them. And I was just so blown away by it. And I tried to tell him that it was really, really very impressive what he did. And I learned a lot from it. And I hope that I'll be able to emulate it. And I'll be able to one day tell a story about me that I accomplished. His tremendous accomplishments all came because when he was inspired, he did something about it. He didn't just walk away, quote unquote, inspired, and then empty-handed. The Ramban continues with Tefashvish b'masech b'boker b'erev u'bazeh yu kol yamecha b'tshuva. You should always investigate, look at what you've done, and then kol yamecha will be b'tshuva. That a person has to constantly be focused, going back to that Yom Hadin. He has to always be connected to it. V'hasar kol debrei ha'olam ilubcha b'yisatfila. And then he says, while you're davening, remove all worldly thoughts, everything that's going on, Dibrei Ha'olam, from your heart, while you're davening, V'hachin Lipcha, L'fnei HaMakom Baruch Hu, and prepare your heart before the Ribbono Shel Olam, V'tayer Ha'yonecha, and purify your thoughts, V'chashov Hadibur Kodom Shatzeinu B'picha, think about what you're saying before you say it, V'chein Tasak Ha'yimeichaye, Hevelecha, V'chol Dover L'techta, and that is what you should do about everything in your life. Think about what you're doing before you do it, Lo Sechta, and you won't sin. And with that, your words, your actions, and your thoughts will be yashar, will be straight. And that way, your tefillah will be pure and it will be accepted by the Ribbono Shel Olam. You know, he said you should always, you have to think, everything you do, you have to think before you do. The Rav Schwab says that he was at the Chafetz Chaim Shabbos table, and the Chafetz Chaim, Parshas B'Shalach, talks about the man fell. And we know, Chazal tell us, that whatever you thought the man would taste like, that's what it tasted like. So if you thought spaghetti and meatballs, mac and cheese, it could be mac and cheese, whatever it was, whatever you thought about. Every kid who hears this, they're, you know, they start to get so excited. Oh, really? I could have pizza with extra cheese? And yeah, everything. You name it, you can think about it, you do it. So the Chafetz Chaim, they were at the table, and the Chafetz Chaim said, what happens if a person wasn't thinking while he's eating the mun? What did it taste like? And there was like a pause. When the Chafetz Chaim tells you something at the table, he obviously has an agenda. So if you're smart, you don't answer. So they didn't answer. So the Chafetz Chaim said, if you don't think, It doesn't have a taste. And that's everything we do in life. If you do something because you thought about it and it was the right thing to do, it has a ta'am. It has a taste, it has a flavor, it's good. If you do something just because everybody else is doing it, then you won't appreciate it and you won't enjoy it. You're not there because you think it's good. You didn't go to that place, that school, that yeshiva, that shul, because you thought this was the best place for you. You didn't go to that restaurant because that's what you wanted to eat. You went just because. And if you do that, then it doesn't help. And it doesn't taste, it has no ta'am. Okay. Just to point out, there's something in the way that this letter was written that I thought was very telling. The overwhelming majority of the letter is about midos. The very end of the letter, he says to his son, oh, by the way, don't forget, you should daven and you should learn, or you should learn and you should daven. I was thinking, if I was writing an ethical will, a letter to my son to tell him about how I want him to live his life, I would tell him about learning. I would tell him Shas and Poskim, you know, Shas Mishnayis, Shas Bavli, Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Brura, everything. Right? We want to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. I want to know Kol HaTorah Kula, Chazara Kol HaTorah Kula, Chidushei Torah, and we should daven with Kavana, and you can't take out your phone, and you try to say every word of Pesukei Dezimra, come on time, make sure your tefillin are on before davening starts, and everything that I want him to know. And by the way, you should also be good to people. You should also be a nice person. Remember, the way you act is also very important. And the Ramban flipped the script and did basically the exact opposite of what I would have thought to do. He wrote an entire letter focusing on midos. He wrote about anava, and he wrote about kas, and he wrote about all these things, and how you have to speak to other people, how you have to treat other people. And then at the very end, he says, by the way, it's almost like by the way. He doesn't use those words, but basically, he says, by the way, you should learn Torah, and it should be lemaisa. You should try to take something out lemaisa. The Torah should change the way you act. And then you should also daven, and you should try to have kavana while you're davening. It's a pella. But that's how the Ramban, that shows you how the Ramban, that was what was important. Now, if it's a machlokes between me and the Ramban, I know that the Ramban is correct. So the Ramban is telling us that's really what's important. And like 75, 80, 90% of the letter is about midos. At the very end, he touches upon Torah and Tefillah, which I would have thought are the most important things. Somebody showed me one of these meaningful minutes. There was the Rebbe who was talking. So he said, I came in the middle of it, so I don't know exactly, but it was basically something about the cup being half full or half empty. And the person said, this rabbi was saying that his grandfather, I don't know, was saying that the cup is half full of water and half full of air. And if you think about it, it's ironic, because if I bring you a cup and it has half water, so we say that the optimist will say that it's half full, and the pessimist will say it's half empty. He says, what's half empty? It means it doesn't have water in it, it has air. But what? Think about it, water and air. What do we need more, water or air? And the answer is obviously we need air more, because if you go a few minutes without air, you'll die. If you go a few days without water, eventually you'll have a problem. But air is much more important than water. We need air much more than we need water. And yet, when you have a cup that's half full with water, it's half empty of air. And we call, if you say half empty, you're a pessimist. You're looking at it negatively. But that's really backwards. It's really half full of air, because air is more important. If you think about it, in other words, you have your priorities are twisted, are backwards. The optimist would say it's half full of air, and then it's half full of water also. Okay, something to think about. But it's the same thing here. I feel like if I was writing this letter, if I was sitting down to write this letter, I would have written all about Torah and Tefillah, and then at the end I would have said, and you should also try to be a mensch. Okay, and then I would say, Chazal say derech eretz kodem l'Torah. So really, this one line that I wrote about being a mensch, I probably should have put in the first paragraph, and then spent the whole letter on Torah and Tefillah. And this just shows you from the Rishonim's perspective, from the Gedolei Rishonim's perspective, that's what's really important. Okay, just to conclude, the Ramban makes a request about the letter. Tikra ha'yigeres hazos pamachas b'shavua v'lo tifchos. The Ramban asked his son, I think at the beginning we mentioned you should read it every day, you'll see why I said that. The Ramban says you should read it once a week, at least. You should fulfill it, you should always follow the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam. L'ma tatzliach b'chol d'rachecha v'tizkel olam haba hatzafun l'tzadikim. And if you follow the letter, then you'll be zoch to olam haba, which is reserved for the tzadikim. U'b'chol yom shetekrena, on any day that you read it, ya'anucha min ha-shamayim. In Shemayim, they will answer your tefilos, kasher yala alib chalishal, whatever it is that you can think of to ask, ad olam, forever. Amen, Selah. Goodbye. I love you. Love Tati. That is how the Ramban ends the letter. The Ramban's final instruction is, read this letter at least once a week. At least once a week. Why do you have to read it so often? So it's like they say, right? There's the Rav Segal, the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, he started the Chafetz Chaim Yomi, to learn two halachos of Chafetz Chaim. There's two goals in the Chafetz Chaim Yomi program. The pashtus is, you have to know halachos of Lashon Hara. By the way, underrated, halachos of Lashon Hara, on a very basic level, don't speak not nice about somebody. But that's really doing it a disservice. Really, really, the reason you got to learn them every day is because halachos of Lashon Hara is really hard. It's actually, there's a lot of details. If you want to speak Lashon Hara L'Toelis, there are seven rules you have to follow. When do we have seven details that you have to keep in mind in order to be able to do something? Chazara, we have five to be able to return a pot onto a blech on Shabbos. You need five, but here we need seven. And Chafetz Chaim, Lashon Hara is not so easy. But there's another reason, and that is because if you learn it every day, it'll be on your mind. You'll be always thinking about, oh, I just came from my Seder in Lashon Hara, or I have to go learn Hilchos Lashon Hara. And that'll remind you to be careful about how you speak, because when you're around people, it's our nature to talk. We schmooze. And we schmooze about things, and we schmooze about places, and we speak about people. And if you speak about people, you're going to come to speak Lashon Hara. So you have to be aware, remember, oh wait, I don't want to go down that road. But if you learn it every day, it'll be on your mind, and you'll be cognizant of it. And the Ramban is saying the same thing. You read it once a week, you'll be cognizant of being humble. You'll be reminded that one day you're going to have to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's going to be a pachad. You'll remember that. That's why you have to read it once a week. The Ramchal in his Hakdama says, Al kein eina to'elas hanilkat mizah sefer. He's talking about the Mesilas Yesharim. He says, therefore, in the Hakdama to Mesilas Yesharim, it says, therefore, eina to'elas hanilkat mizah sefer, the to'elas that can be taken from this sefer, yotzei min akriya bo pamachas. It does not come from reading it once. Ki kfar efshar shelo yimta kori b'sechol chidushim ha'ach kriyaso shelo yubo lufnei kriyaso elameat. It could be, you'll find only very few chidushim. Aval ha'to'elas yotzei min ha'chazar alav ha'asmada. The to'elas comes from reviewing and constantly going over the ideas. You'll remember the things that people naturally forget. And you'll remember your obligations in this world that you always are trying to run away from. And that's what the Ramchal writes in his Akhtama, is the reason the Ramban says, read it every week. Remind yourself of the inyonim that I speak about in this letter. And the Ramban tells us, very powerful, and this is why, you know, mentioned, maybe it's worth reading every day. Yeah, it's some siddurim have it printed in the siddur. Because, u'b'chol yom shet, his last line, u'b'chol yom shetekre'ena, on any day that you read it, ya'anucha min ha-shamayim. They will answer you in Shemayim, kasher yala alib chalishol. At all, anything, ever, that you could think of asking, if on a day that you read the Igeres HaRamban, the Rosh will answer your tefilos. You know, we're always looking for skulas. This is not a heebie-jeebie. The Ramban writes it bepeh mele. Any day that you read the Igeres HaRamban, it could be you have to read the whole letter to have the skula of this Ramban. The Ramban, from the Gedolei Rishonim. Very powerful statement. Every day that you read this letter, Shamayim will answer all of your requests. We dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. We ask Hashem for things. We want things. We have to do chazara on this letter. You don't have to do chazara on the shiurim. Whatever you gain from the shiurim, I hope you gain something. Whatever you gain from the shiurim, you gained. But the ikar is the words of the Ramban. Not anybody else's perushim, but the words of the Ramban. The Ramban's words, very chashuv. Every word, we're medayik in Rishonim. Their words are gold. Any day, the Ramban says, any day that we read this letter, will be zocha. That our tefillos will be niskabel. But as Hashem, we all have things that we need, we all have things that we want. We should chazer the letter, and the Ribbono Shel Olam should be mishalos libeinu l'tova. Sometimes we want something and it's not really in our best interests. So we, in a way, we don't want to force his hand, so to speak, that Hashem has to listen to us, and then it comes out not good. So we want that Hashem should listen to us, but Hashem should listen to us in a way that it'll be good for us. We'll have what we want, we'll have what we need, but we'll have it in a way that it comes down as bracha, and that's what we hope for. And through this Igeres, hopefully we'll grow as people, and we'll be zocha to the Olam Haba that he says is reserved for the tzaddikim, hatzofon la tzaddikim. Thank you very much.